Okay, Angie and our speaker will need to unmute themselves by hitting star 6. Go ahead, Angie.
Well, good morning, everybody.
This morning
I wanted to give you a few facts about the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge, which, as you all know, is Kate and William. The royal wedding was watched by 24.5 million people in the UK and an estimated 2 billion people around the world. The couple only informed the Queen and Prince of Wales of their engagement 2 hours before it was made public. The arrival of Kate and William's baby boy saw Prince Harry move from third to fourth place in line to the throne. He's probably quite pleased about that one, I'm sure. Kate followed tradition for her nuptials to William. For something old, she had a traditional Carnic Macross lace tucked into her wedding dress. Her something new was custom-made diamond oak leaf earrings with a diamond-encrusted acorn in the middle, and her something borrowed was the Queen's Cartier tiara. Her something blue, she had a blue ribbon sewed into the interior of her dress. So there's a few quick facts about our wonderful couple that we all love so much in England. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest speaker today. Jan has been building her business with Mary Kay for 34 years. She lives in Lubbock, Texas, and has been married to David for 34 years. She has two children, Rachel, 30, and Tanner, 27. Jan debuted as a sales director in 1982. Jan led her unit to the Circle of Achievement and Excellence for 10 years, and in the process earning, her husband David had all expenses paid trips to London, Bermuda, Greece, Vancouver, and many more. The last 2 years she was a director, she led her unit to the $1 million mark, and her last year as a director, Jan's unit was number 15 in the nation and number 1 in the state of Texas. She is currently driving her 14th pink Cadillac, a very cool 2013 SRX National Cadillac. Jan was awarded the highest honor given by Mary Kay to her sales force, and that is the National Miss Go Give Award. She was given that in July of 1989. Jan's highest check in 1 month is $31,634.47, and she has earned over $3 million in her Mary Kay career. She debuted as a national sales director in July of 2000. She is totally focused on building an inner circle national area and celebrating the amazing legacy of success of those that have gone before her as she strives to equip those that will follow her. Jan loves the freedom and flexibility that is made possible through her career in Mary Kay, as well as the opportunity to share her faith as she works. She is driven by goals and deadlines. Please welcome Jan Thetford.
Well, good morning, everyone. Now, listen, I want to call in Angie and have you introduce me every Monday morning. That is, like, fantastic. What a way to start the week, a very precious Thanksgiving week. And I've got a couple things, y'all, before I do my training today. What an honor to be asked to be on this call. And as we wrap up this program, I just want to publicly say, Cindy, thank you for taking the time, number one. I know this idea hit you in the shower or someplace, but taking the time to call everybody, to get everybody organized, to do the flyers, to record the calls. You are a blessing, and it is such a wonderful sisterhood that we have when we just truly, to our very core of who we are, want to inspire others to grow in this business and to build. And we know that lives are changed, and our direction so many times of our life is changed when we put ourselves in the space of people that think like we do. They understand the lingo, but they also think bigger. And, you know, as I listen to the calls through this time, and a couple I've still got left to listen to the recordings, and we'll get those done over the holidays, so thank you for recording them, Cindy. I kind of verbalized this to Cindy through text this weekend. I hope that I can share something with you that would really be impactful, because, wow, we have had the most amazing calls and the most amazing information, and we all just learn from each other. And so I sat down last week and put some bullet points together of what I could share this morning. And I kind of, you know, we all compare, y'all. We know what happens when we compare ourselves to others. We always come up short. So I listened to a couple of the calls. I thought, okay, Jan, it was fantastic information. And the reason I'm verbalizing this to you is because this morning, or in my quiet time, I totally changed direction. I just thought, nope, I'm not doing that. We're going to go a different direction. And I pray that this will be an impactful few minutes for you as we wrap up the first 6 months of our seminar year here in a few weeks, and we go into the holiday season, and so many voices in our head and so many demands on our time and all the different hats we wear as daughters and wives and mothers and sisters and neighbors and volunteers and Mary Kay sales directors, and well, there's just so many things to do. But it does not have to overwhelm us. It can absolutely be something that is so powerful that we can benefit and actually thrive in times that can be quite stressful and quite committed as far as things that we do in a 24-hour period. But I know that we're talking to a group of directors here that want to be on that top trip and want to earn that. And it is, y'all, such a valuable, valuable thing to have people pour into your lives on the direction that you can go. But I will tell you that the trip was something that I dreamed about a long time before we actually did it. My story is not one where, you know, oh, I want to be a trip director, so I worked really hard the next year and we, you know, we did it. My story actually is, very quickly, I became a sales director at the age of 23. I had been in Mary Kay only about 8 months, and so I really am a product of the 60 Minutes boom that happened in the 80s. You know, everybody was coming on board, and I had really no idea why I was doing this or what, I mean, the thought of having a why or a passion or a purpose, I mean, none of that was in my thought process at all at that time, but I know now that it was God's hand on my life to do that. However, I at the time did not realize that. But so became a sales director and did that and won our at that time it was pink Buick Regal, gorgeous little Pepto Bismol pink, but delightful. But I earned our first car in qualification, and then became a sales director and absolutely stopped. Just stopped working. I became a manager. I didn't know that's what it was called at the time. And, you know, most of my unit was younger than me. And so if a cute boy came along, you know, to go out with or do whatever, then I would lose them. And some of you that might be my age now, I don't know how many of that, you know, in our 50s or late 40s, you know, you would probably agree with me to say that 20-year-olds are different today than they were 20 years ago. They have more savvy, they have more spunk, they have more drive, and I don't know what's caused that necessarily. Well, I kind of have an idea, but that's a whole other subject for another day. But at my age of 23, I was newlywed, living in very conservative West Texas and Lubbock, Texas, and, you know, women they got married and had babies. And especially my spiritual world, or my church world, there was a lot of expectations of what you would do as a Christian woman. And, you know, working an in-home business didn't fit that mode. And physically, I'd never really worn makeup, y'all. So, I mean, honestly, tweezing my eyebrows was like a huge aha moment because, you know, I always tell you my eye story. You know, I learned in my training that our goal with eyebrows was to have two. And I was like, oh. So, I mean, I had to learn a ton of stuff. But throughout all of this, as I stepped into directorship, and you know, I always have been a seller of the product, and, man, I could go there, and I'm going to mention it today, but I absolutely, that is where I made my money in the beginning because I was a director of a unit under 30 for 6 years, and that pink Buick Regal was in my driveway about a month or two, maybe a little bit longer, a car cycle. And, you know, I woke up one day, y'all, we had some fertility issues, and so we had all that emotional, all that hormone stuff, but I had two little babies, a ton of debt on my credit card, and that was when credit cards were new, and we hadn't really, you know, used them that much, and my debt came from allowing people to put their orders on my card because they promised me they would pay it. I mean, I made so many horrible decisions, and Cindy, that might be another call for another day because I'm just telling you, that's an aha moment when you have to own your mistakes, but just know that you can work through them and move through them. But so through that, on that day, I was my first time I really, really thought about quitting. And but I would have walked away from Mary Kay with a ton of credit card debt and, you know, not having a direction really as to what I needed to do. And I'm so thankful that I had my national sales director, Mickey Ivey, who is now retired, but you know, she just said, "Jan, let's talk about this." And through that conversation, I realized that I was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I was tired of playing and living below my abilities and the way I was wired. Now, I've since, y'all, gone back to Matthew 25, the gift of the parables and the talents, excuse me, the talents that were given to each of the people. And you can go and read that. But I realized at that point that I had a calling, but I didn't know that it was called a calling. I just realized that I was miserable and that there was a giant within there somewhere, but I didn't know how to get it out. And, you know, that I was a little different than the people around me. You know what I've learned since then is that when you're ambitious, it is a little awkward with people that are not. And that ambition, y'all, the root of frustration is ambition. And that when we are frustrated, we automatically think that it's a negative, when the truth of the matter is that it's a positive. Because you are ambitious, and that's why. So when we're not where we think we want to be, or when we know we're not doing what we need to be doing in the way of discipline and willpower and all those types of things, we get frustrated. And what we do with that frustration determines our next step in Mary Kay and how we move forward. But bottom line, at that point, I made a decision to recognize that I was frustrated. And I think this is a process that we all go through. I bet every national that's ever spoken on this call has had the same experience. It may not look just like this, but it's that general process of I made a decision to not quit. That was my first decision that I was in. Then I made a decision to get back to the basics, which was holding selling appointments and parties. And then I made a decision that I would not compare myself to other people for 6 months. That I would just be me, and that I would be conditioned and focused on the activity that I knew I needed to do. Okay, so that's me, because I started when I was 23, so now I'm about 30. Now, you know, this is 6 months into being a sales director, not making any money because I wasn't doing enough production to make money, but yet I didn't quit. And so, you know, I recognized and I owned my financial mistakes, and I recognized, you know, that's not my character. That's not really who I am, but it was just poor choices that I made. And, you know, sometimes we confuse, and Satan will convolute it in our brain that a bad choice is who you are. And I'm just telling you, I would rebuke that, and I don't believe that. We all make mistakes. All of us. The only person that didn't make a mistake was Jesus Christ himself. Every single one of us, everybody. So what we have to be able to separate in our brain that, you know, I mishandled the monies, but I can fix that with a plan and with a system and with a different thought process. And perhaps I didn't conduct myself as well as I needed to do in this situation, but I learned from that. So next time I'll say something different or I'll be different, but who I am is not depicted on that failure. That's just, it's a learning curve. It's who we are. I also embraced the fact at that time, y'all, I think it's very important for where you all are now, and me too, truthfully, is that the scoreboard is not a measuring stick of your value as a person. The scoreboard is a measuring stick of how effectively you're working. And I feel like that's really something that, you know, that we can look at and go forward. And so our first trip year, y'all, I had a $9,000 October and a $10,000 November. I mean, it wasn't a big old huge production that we knew, and I was always behind. I'm the one that had to just blow it out April, May, and June, and there's so many funny stories about that. Seriously, the first year we earned a trip, this was before we had just like walked 10 miles to school in the snow, but this was before cell phones. My first phone we didn't have yet. It was a car phone. It weighed about as much as I did, but we didn't, you know, we just had credit cards, but we didn't have any way of submitting them online. So we, and I know Cindy would remember this, but we would gather all of our orders together at month end and overnight them to Dallas or do whatever. Have somebody drive them in the 6 hours from Lubbock to Dallas, but you know, we would have to kind of join together that day before. We were still hand figuring orders. We didn't have desktop or InTouch or anything to help us, so we would pull those orders together. So our first trip here, those last 72 hours, we had to do like 18,000 wholesale or something just crazy, and I didn't shower or sleep or wash my hair or change my clothes. And so this last day of the year, people were coming to my office and dropping off their orders, and I would literally see their expressions like, whoa, I mean, you know, my goodness, that she looks horrible. So that's when I started saying, you know, I don't know why you want the natural look, because the natural look is not that great. I spend an hour every morning to not look natural, right? But anyway, so that was kind of my journey. You know, I was a little bit slower getting there, but once we got there, and you learn a lot along the way. And so how can we take that story and apply it to what you're doing today? And so I've got, y'all, and I started a little bit of this training on Voxer this morning, but at the risk of just, I just need to bring y'all up to speed so you'll understand this message this morning, because this is the deal. As a national sales director, I have never put myself on a pedestal. And I want y'all to know that what breaks my heart for directors is that they think they're not enough, that they're less than. And we all have life, and we all have stuff, and we all could have done something different. But bottom line, guys, I think one of the most frustrating things for us as sales directors is that we're where we are, but we see where we want to be. And we've got to figure out how to get from where we are to there with our values and, you know, with our sanity, basically. But, you know, let me just real quickly bring you where I am, and then or what brought this on, and then I'm going to give you three things today that I think will help you be able to go in to the end of the year. And, you know, my original call this morning, or before I had my aha moment, was about, you know, let's look at leadership parties, let's look at, you know, numbers on the board, let's look at the tasks, and all that is important, and I know you understand that. And if you are a little shaky on some of just the logistics, because we know that when we do the math, it can be magical, as they say. And so we understand the kind of work that has to be there. But today I'm going in a totally different direction because I just feel like it will encourage someone today. But in April, my mother passed away. She had struggled for not really that long, but been healthy all of her life, and then got abdominal cancer. And it was a horrific 18 months for us. But so she passed away in April, and we've been a national area about 12 years, and we've had some really good success. None of us are ever where we want to be, right? And so we've got big goals, but I've got precious people in our area, and so we're working. But I'm always working on being a better leader because I believe, y'all, and Mary Kate, we've said it a gazillion different ways since she said it, but the truth of the matter is the speed of the leader is the speed of the game, and we know that. And what happens to us as leaders, though, is somehow through life we lose our mojo, we lose, you know, our why, our passion, our vision gets covered up with a wet blanket, but it's still there. It's still simmering in our gut. It's just we are where we are, as Linda Tupin says, because of choices that we've made or allowed others to make for us. And so, you know, you just have to kind of get through all of that. But my mom was wonderful, but what has happened, y'all, for those of you that have lost parents or any loved one, I'm sure you can relate, cleaning out her drawers and her closets and putting her life in Tupperware containers, you know, I started thinking, what are my kids going to find about me in my drawers? What legacy am I going to have? You know, what are they going to think about what I invested in the lives of others in this business opportunity that is so amazing? Because, guys, this is the thing. We don't invest because we're so caught up in ourselves. And we're fearful. And that's a very selfish emotion. And we don't take Mary Kay's advice of putting a sign around our neck that says, make me feel important. You know, that everyone has that. We're so consumed with our own stuff that we can't give the way that we've been gifted to give. And so I started recognizing some of this and, you know, recognizing that just through our circumstances, I'd been a little blah. And then fast forward into seminar, and then I've had the opportunity to sit at the feet of some really amazing people. And one of the things that I have come away with that is that, you know, we've got this amazing heritage, 51 years of incredibleness. And we are not going away, and we are financially sound. And, y'all, do you know that in my 30 years, I bet many people could vouch for that, I've never had a commission check late. I have never not been paid what I told I would be paid. Now, you know what? Sometimes I don't maximize how much I could be paid. I think we all leave money on the table, for sure, but every month. But that they pay me. And when you see people around you in other fields and maybe friends from other walks of life, and they'll say, you know, I worked and my commission check was later. I didn't get paid what I thought I was going to get paid. And, I mean, America has so much integrity with the products, with the printed material, with the people that are on board to support us. And, you know, while most companies are wondering, many companies, how am I going to make it the next 51 days? We're planning our next 51 years. And so we know that we are in a really good place. And we have this heritage, and we have Mary Kay the person, and God first, family second, career third, and you know, just our values and what we want to move forward. But if we're not willing to move forward into the new, to where we can work with all women of all ages, then we're going to be left behind. And technology is changing so quickly, and 5 years from now, we'll do it different than we're doing today. And so I find myself really wanting to become a good student of marrying our heritage with where we're going and being able to move forward with this pink bubble and our, and you know, but the attitude of we've never done it that way before does not behoove us, because we can keep who we are, our values, our morals, and still maybe change the actual method, but the message stays the same. I'm kind of hoping I'm making myself clear. But anyway, so through those speakers and through all of this stuff, yeah, we just had this moment where you recognize, I have been chosen for such a time as this. And ladies, you have been chosen for such a time as this. You're in the top 2% of this amazing $5 billion company. You have done something right. Now, whether you are rolling in the production right now and you've got reds and you've got activity and, you know, you're going, or whether you're kind of stuck, it doesn't matter where you are today. What matters is where you're going. If you're behind on the trip, it's okay. We got to figure out where we are. We got to own it. We got to do the math, and we got to move forward. We know that people build production. And when we focus and focus and focus and focus, and you've heard this from some of the other speakers on, you know, production, we find ourselves getting very frustrated that when we focus on building people, then some of these other things happen. But we know that with our heads, but then so how do you build people on a daily basis? Which brings me to my 3 points. I know y'all are glad I'm finally there. Number one thing, self-leadership. Guys, we all have to learn to lead ourselves well. The definition of self-leadership in its just purest form is knowing what to do, when to do it, and being willing to do it. And I would venture to say that if you've been on these calls for a month or since the summer, you know what to do. And you actually could do a weekly plan sheet and know when to do it. But that willing piece, you know, I've been reading a book on willpower, and the main point of that whole book is that willpower is a muscle, and it can be strengthened. But if not used, it will go away. You know, go back to my story the day I made a decision to do something different. You know, our decisions, y'all, that impact our discipline and our focus and what we are. And many of you would say, you know, if I were to say to you, why are you still in Mary Kay? Why are you doing this? Why are you willing to inconvenience yourself to and being a leader? Because, y'all, what we do is hard. And I don't mean that to be negative, but investing in people is messy. And it's not an easy thing. It's simple sometimes that we make hard, but it's not easy. So why are you doing this? Why are you willing to inconvenience yourself to move forward? You know, I learned that a definition of vision is what you're willing to inconvenience yourself to pursue. That's your vision. But this is a key thing, I think, y'all, in all of this. If you say to me, well, Jan, I just feel called to this. I just feel like this is where God wants me. Y'all know what the backside of calling is? Obedience. And what has to do with obedience is action. And, you know, we can sit here, and I have been so guilty of this for years, of working formulas, and I'm kind of a taskmaster in my fleshiness, and so I'm like, okay, 30 faces, 50 faces, 20 faces, this many interviews. You do 5 interviews, you'll get 1 yes. You know, I don't know that those formulas are always true, but I do know that if we have a goal, y'all, and we tie our business goal to our personal goal, there's a reason that you are going to set a business goal, that you will do that. Because if you are called and you are strive to be obedient, then you find yourself leading yourself better. And by that I mean in your health and in your habits and in your time and in your money. I mean, you're just making better decisions. And each of you will make different decisions based on, it doesn't look the same for all of us, based on what your goals are and the age of your children and what your interests are and where you feel like you need to spend your time. And it doesn't matter how you do it, y'all. It's just finding a way that you do it. We don't all have to close a sale the same way. We don't all have to have the same hostess plan. We don't all have to, you know, coach our hostesses the same way or book the same way, but we all have to have a way to do those things. Because bottom line, once you figure out your why and where you're going, we still have to book, sell, coach, and recruit, right? I mean, that's our job description. That's what we do. But when you're leading yourself well and you've got and you figured out, okay, I know what to do, I know when to do it, now I've just got to find that willing piece, then you find that what follows that immediately, I mean immediately upon making a decision, what follows that is pushback. And the definition of pushback is the automatic, I mean automatic resistance to moving forward. And that's why I think anytime we come home from an event, y'all, that, you know, we're just bombarded by stuff that happened at home while you were gone, stuff, you know. It seemed like all of my million-dollar years, I would come home from that, a wonderful trip, and like one of my key people would have sent their product back while I was gone. I mean, there's just always pushback to moving forward. But we know that. We know it's going to happen. It's automatic. And so, therefore, you strive, you prepare yourself, you teach your people. And I love our Mary Kay bubble, y'all, but I think if we're going to live and function well as leaders, we've got to be honest with them that there will be postponements and people will move around and they're going to be disappointed. So how are you going to handle that the first time somebody doesn't show up at a meeting that you thought was coming? How are you going to handle the fact that you talked to a hostess at 1 and you went to her house at 6 and she wasn't there when she said she would be? I mean, teaching them the skills of handling pushback, I think, is how we become authentic leaders. And it's not just about a script, although they are needed at times. It's not just about, you know, go fight win. I know you can do this. Call me when it's done. I mean, those are some of our older ways that we worked, and they worked fine then. But now it's about, okay, what are we going to benefit from this? How are we going to do this? And it's recognizing your skills and knowing. And so as you segue into that personal leadership piece, there's three things, y'all, that I think we do as leaders. And I just thought this might be a great way to wrap up this program that Cindy has put together. And that is the three words, initiate, close, and pivot. I think everything we do, and this is just my opinion, but everything can fall within one of those three words. Let's talk about that for a minute. Or really, I'm the only one talking, so I guess y'all are going to listen. That's how these conference calls go, isn't it? But, okay, initiate. What does that mean, to start something? When you are in business for yourself, when you are a business owner, and we're work-from-home moms, and we know that we've got to make that first contact. Of course, here again, that's kind of where the pushback comes in sometimes, but we initiate on so many levels. In our other lives other than Mary Kay, we initiate, you know, people helping us clean house, or you're thinking right now how you're going to initiate and what all you got to do at the grocery store and the meals you're cooking and who's coming or where you're going this week, and it's month end, and so you have all these thoughts coming at you about, I need to make that first step. But in Mary Kay, we initiate by speaking first to someone that, you know, we make eye contact with out in public, giving them a business card or a goodie bag, or we initiate by smiling and complimenting the mother that's sitting beside us in the bleachers at a sporting event or at a PTA meeting, or perhaps you're leaving a Bible study and, you know, you don't feel super comfortable about talking to Mary Kay at that study, but you walk out with a woman that you say, you know what, I've really enjoyed getting to know you through this study, and I'd love to get your opinion on my Mary Kay product. I mean, is this something that you would consider? And, you know, we just initiate that. We make that first contact. We initiate that booking with our customer, or we initiate that coaching with our new hostess. We initiate with our consultants that phone call to say, hey, we've missed you at meeting, or we initiate with our new people, their inventory investment or their training program, or we initiate with those stuck women in our lives. Okay, I've been thinking about you, and I believe in you. Y'all are getting the picture. And, y'all, initiating can be exhausting. But when you are leading yourselves well and you're taking care of you through quiet times and exercise and perimeters in your work day, then you're going to be able to invest in other people more. And so you initiate. Y'all, I think we must learn the skill ourselves, and we've got to teach it to our people, that the world doesn't come to their door and say, I've heard the good news. I know there's some Mary Kay in there somewhere, that we must make that first step. And so really, in just, you know, purest form Mary Kay, IPAs, income-producing activities that you're all familiar with, that's initiating. That is initiating. That's making that push. Okay, the second word, close. My husband is in sports radio and has been for a while now, but when we first married, he was a basketball coach, and then he had a little stint in there with some real estate. All of those things I learned by watching him that, you know, it doesn't matter until the game's over who won. I mean, we've all sat through sporting events, and we're huge sports people over here, but, you know, and there have been story after story after story of the person that was behind coming up in the last minutes of the game and winning the game. So it's not over till it's over, right? In real estate, for those of you that are familiar, most of you are, I'm sure, I mean, you don't get paid until you go to closing, right? We don't get paid, y'all, until we close the transaction, whether it be the sale or whether it be the recruiting piece. But this is the deal. I have really embraced, and I'm still working through this, so this is fresh for me. And I've learned as a leader that it's best for me to teach and talk from my last 7 days of work. So I wish I could give you a bunch of numbers to prove this, but I know it to be true, but we've just got closing gives us confidence, even if the person we're talking to says no. Because what happens is, you know, and that's what I had to learn to work through, and you have to learn to work through, especially if you're going to do this trip thing. You've got to talk to enough people where the no's don't bother you very much. It's just a part of the process, right? And so I have to get a no to feel comfortable moving forward, and so that it doesn't make things awkward. You know, if a transaction's not closed with a yes or no response, then when you see that person that you talk to, you may not feel awkward around them, but they feel awkward around you, and so they avoid you. And so my conversation with, let me just give you an example, with a potential team member on this very thing is, thank you for your time today. What this appointment's going to look like is I'm going to sit here and I'm going to lay all the cards on the table. And I'm going to tell you all about Mary Kay and why I think you would be good being a part of our company. I do think it's definitely worth your time to consider Mary Kay as a part-time or full-time position for you. I'm going to tell you how we make our money and why I like it and why I think you'd be good. But then ultimately, the decision is yours. But I want you to know right now, Janie Lou, that if you decide not to join Mary Kay as a consultant, you do not have to feel awkward around me. I don't want you. I will put you back in my customer base, or we will stay friends. You do not have to feel weird, because I want us to close this transaction to get a definite yes or a definite no. And that's why, Janie Lou, which is usually not her name, but that's why I will push you to give me a yes or no in a timely manner. It's what we call closing, because I promise that we will feel comfortable around each other going forward. And y'all, since I've started embracing that, oh my goodness, it's just so honest, so true, so open. And then you will find that you're going to have better results and that your people aren't so scared of the no's, because it's closing. So I push to have a definite closing. If she doesn't come to meeting as a guest a couple of times and then she doesn't show up for her appointments and your people are like, she stood me up twice, she won't answer my calls. So I teach them how to close. Okay, write them a handwritten note, or I guess they could private Facebook message them, but, or something, to just say, you know what, I want you to know that I really think you're great and I'm sorry our schedules haven't meshed and it seems to me that you're really busy. If you ever change your mind, please know that I'd love to work with you. So that transaction is closed. Now, not the way they wanted it to necessarily, but it's closed. Okay, the same with a party. Y'all, when I did my first few parties in my beginning of Mary Kay, I never asked anybody to buy anything. And I remember one of my customers was like, Jen, can we get this stuff from you? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, it's not just about the party and the presentation. It's about the closure. It's about saying, so that's why we teach y'all, our consultants, and we do it ourselves, what would you like to take home with you tonight? You know, and we wait for their answer. And we've all been trained that whoever talks first loses, quote unquote. Like if I talk, I can talk myself out of a sale or if I don't give her time to process. Or, you know, if she says, hey, I want this and that and the other. And so, you know, you find that. And so what I started doing, y'all, and teaching my people how to do it, I'm still teaching my people how to do actually, is, you know, that I close the sale at the very beginning of my welcoming comments. Thank you for coming today. There are four parts to a Mary Kay skincare class presentation, and that is, first of all, I'm going to introduce you to our amazing number one selling brand of skincare. The second thing we're going to do is schedule a time to schedule a follow-up appointment with you so that we can work on your color. The third thing we're going to do is have an individual consultation at the end so that I can find out what you liked about this, because I don't want to be your salesperson. I want to be your beauty consultant. And then the fourth thing that we're going to do is determine definitely if you want to buy something tonight. If you do, I've got it here. If you don't, that's fine. But we'll close that transaction so that when we leave here today, this will be – and, y'all, I just teach that. And it may seem foreign, but I feel like it's very, very beneficial for us to be able to, you know, to come in and to close that sale so that you feel confident. And I want to tell you something. I'd rather have a no or a hell no, honestly, than be strung out and you had this proverbial prospect list. And that's what some of your key people have, y'all. Your people that want red and want director and want car, they have this prospect list that they're not closing. And so they just move it from month to month to month. And, I, you know, as a sell, even as a million-dollar director, I found myself doing that many times, you know, because I just didn't have the guts to say, she is not interested. She has not told me yes ever. She's not going to tell me yes ever. I'm closing this. She's off my list. I'm moving on. And it's cleansing when you can do that. And you're not mad at them. You don't think they're weird, you know. And but we close. Okay. Let's move on to this third word, and that's pivot. This is a new learn for me, y'all, but I believe – that how fast can you pivot as a leader will determine if you are on the trip. Because this is the thing. You know, we talked earlier about sometimes our job is hard. If you really think about what we do as leaders, as directors, y'all, in a three-hour morning phone time, you're going to talk to a new person that's excited about why we have pink and purple stripes on our tubes. And you're going to talk to her about training, and you're going to talk to her about investing in inventory. You're going to turn around, and that next conversation, somebody might be talking about getting out. And so you're going to talk about the 90% repurchase to her, which is, you know, what we offer when we recruit them, so we need to be able to talk to them about it. You're going to talk to one of your key people that's so excited because she sold $500 last night, and she's got a new potential recruit, and she's got a guest coming with her to meeting. And, you know, then that next phone call will be somebody who's totally stuck. Everybody stood her up this week. Her sales were nothing, and now she's considering working another job because Mary Kay just isn't cutting it for her. And then you're going to talk to one of your sales director friends, and she's going to have had some great things happen, so you're going to, you know, beat yourself up because you haven't had that happen. But then you'll talk to somebody else who's not where you are. It's amazing. And that's, we pivot through all those conversations in one day. No wonder we're tired when the day is over, right? But it's so valuable, y'all, as a leader, when you feel called that you're willing to pivot. National Sales Director Heidi Gelsler told us, I said in one of her trainings the other day, and it was really good. And she was talking about, as directors, you know, we pivot. If our unit's working, then we can work with them more. But if they're not working, we've got to pivot into personal business. Now, we never forsake the personal business at all, but, you know, you do more one or the other. How fast do you pivot through disappointment, y'all? How fast do you pivot through loss, whether it be an offspring sales director or a key consultant that you really thought was going to be great? Because after all, you've invested in them. You've invested. I feel like one of the things that I was reminded of last week in talking to a leadership coach, and he's worked with a lot of national sales directors and top directors. And so we asked him, we said, can you give us the three qualities that you see that every national sales director has in common, regardless of how they did it, regardless of personality, regardless of age or geographic location in the country? And he came up with a list of three. And this is what I want to end with today, because this is really my little third point. We had lead yourself well is Roman numeral one, then the three words, and then now here these three areas. The first thing on his list that every top director in national had in common that he has personally worked with, which I believe is a really good cross-section of our company, and that is their ability to handle pain, their ability to pivot, their ability to see the silver lining on the cloud, the ability to be disappointed but not devastated. The ability in handling pain to not, now I'm adding some of these words. He didn't say all this because he doesn't work in our work, but my Mary Kay transaction of that would be the ability to still know your calling when everybody around you doesn't seem to be with you at all. One of the most lowest times of my development as a trip director international was we made a little announcement that we're going to go national, and I had 9 first line, and we were going to do this thing and law, and my national was retiring. We wanted to get this done before she retired, and we had all this. After that announcement, I had 3 of my directors step down. I was like, okay, now that is not the direction I wanted to go, but it was a pruning time for me. But y'all, what I didn't see then, sometimes if we can't trust people, we can trust God. And from one of those gals standing down, they were going to hit and miss anyway. There weren't, you know, there's the reasons for they needed to not be in leadership at that time. But one of my little gals that stepped down said, Jan, my people have lost their vision, and so I can't lead these people anymore. Well, we know that the leader lost her vision, because in those 17 people that Julie gave me, three of the 17 became first-line directors. 2 of those 3 are in Cadillacs today. Now, that day she stepped away when I had this goal and this timeline, I was so sad. But, y'all, God has this thing, and I don't want to give it all to him and not do the work, but I'm just saying we've got to trust his timing. And so the ability to handle pain is a part of that. The second thing that all these nationals and top directors have in common was their ability to stick with the basics. And, yes, it may look cute, and it may own a different flyer, and it may be called something, Taco Night or iSocial or marketing or whatever, but it's still the basics. We book and we coach and we sell and we recruit, and to not get too far away from that. The third thing that I thought was really interesting that they all have in common but have learned to work around, that every leader struggles with focus. Every leader. And he even sees that in his, you know, CEOs of corporations and in ministry and other people he works with. But nationals and top directors learn the skill of focus and consistency and the ability to stick with the job until it's closed, right? And that is a learning skill. And I think we all have seasons in our life where we learn to do that. You know, y'all, and as I wrap up this call, this is the deal. It's been so fun because through all this learning this year, you know, both of my kids have gotten married, and my mother passed away, and we're going to be grandparents for the first time in April. And, you know, so much life is going on, but it's so fun to know that through all of this, that you are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses that I call my NSD sisters and sales directors and consultants, and the ability to work with the people that God has entrusted me to. And so I know if you look back over, you know, this amazing group of women that has invested into these conference calls, and you look at how this gal did it and how that gal did it, and this girl worked numbers and this girl worked sales and this girl worked people and counted agreements, and, you know, I mean, there's just so many different things that we can track. The main thing is that we take action on what we feel is the best thing to do, because we cannot sit at home and wait for the magic to happen. And even if we mess up, it's okay, because at least we're doing something. And so this morning, as I close, I want to give you one little quote, because I think that this can encourage us today. When we look at where we want to go, and what is going to happen to us, we must know this. Fear always precedes faith. Fear always precedes faith. And, y'all, when you've been called to high things, big things, the trip to be the top percentage of women going to London in our company, you're going to have big pushback and big obstacles. Can you handle it? I think you can. And when we learn to pivot and when we learn to grow through that, then you're going to be successful. And I am so looking forward to seeing you on this London trip. And I know that you can do this. We all can. And we may have to be gathering more people than someone else. Maybe we're at a place where our unit has stars and the other ones don't. I mean, y'all, whatever we don't have, we can work towards that. But I want you to focus today, this week, on what you do have, what you do know. Because as leaders, we spend so much time on what's not happening or what we don't know or what we don't have. But let's focus on what we do know and what we do have and what we can do. Go back and read Matthew 25 and the talents? And are you using your talent, y'all? Do you need to spend some time figuring out what your why is and tie that to a business goal? All of this is what we call self-leadership. There was a time that I had to apologize to my unit for allowing them to settle. Guys, I apologize as your leader. I have allowed us to settle. We're not performing to our potential, but we can, and I'm willing to run with you if you're willing to run. And when your people know that you're going with or without them, you know, we can't really lead people we're mad at, and it's hard to lead people we need. Now, sometimes we think we need them, and, you know, it's nice. But when we're so called and so committed and we're initiating and closing and pivoting, you're going to do fine, and people will want to follow you because you have something that they don't have. Okay.
Okay.
I preached this morning. It's like a sermon. I'm over.
You
I'm not talking for five more hours.
You
I have preached. Did y'all hear it?
So
that's it. Oh, go for it. Southern Baptist.
You are, and David is too, both of you. What? You're an exhorter in the body of Christ. You know, an exhorter is a person that encourages by way of instruction. And that's what you've done. This was the perfect call. I just got to give God all the praise and all the glory for this call today and for every call. It has been ordered of the Lord. I mean, totally and completely. I just give him all the honor and all the glory. And what you kicked off with, talking about frustration, you know, I've never heard it worded like you talk about ambition is the root of frustration.
Uh-huh.
And I have said that frustration always precedes growth.
Yes.
That we all feel frustrated, and frustration is an offshoot of anger. And anger externalized can be great if you make it move forward. I don't know how many times I was trying to count and keep up with how many times you said move forward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it was more than a dozen that you said move forward. But if we internalize the frustration, which is anger internalized, it becomes depression.
Right, exactly.
So frustration, wow, is ambition. And, you know, people, I think, today get confused, and especially Christians, that they think ambition is, like, sinful.
Oh, yeah.
It's not. Ambition is, as our good friend Kim Walker says, why settle for good when excellence is out there?
Absolutely.
It's always striving to be Christ-like is.
Well, see, and that's why we feel awkward. That's why sometimes we feel awkward when we are ambitious, because people around us, you know, don't understand that. They really don't.
That's right. So,
but they're not supposed to. It's our dream, not their dream, right?
That's right. And so people get confused, and, you know, God is not the author of confusion. I know you know that. So I Googled, while you were talking, what's the definition of ambition? An earnest desire for a type of achievement or distinction.
Mm.
Isn't that good? Another thing it said is aspiration, a strong desire for advancement. You know, it's just to be the best you that you can be, which Mary Kay so taught us all along. And when you said that the scoreboard is not a measure of your value as a person, but it is a measure of your work.
Right.
That is so true. That is so, so true. When you talked about self-leadership, you know, and that it is a learned behavior. Self-discipline, self-leadership is a learned behavior, and you have to be willing. And you talked about willingness. And the pushback, what you called pushback. Now, I've always called it the season of contradiction.
On
Hebrews 12:3, when you set a big goal, you will endure a season of contradiction. But I like your pushback because that almost sounds like a football term, and you know we're big football people here too. So
I know. We don't root for the same team either, but I still love you, Cindy.
But we
I
still love each
that.
Other. That's right.
Yes, we do.
That's right. And so, but right, that pushback, and the harder the pushback, I know you would agree with me, the harder the pushback, the more certain you can be you are doing something right.
Oh, absolutely.
You're doing it right. But what you said about pivot, just in like a twinkling of an eye kind of a thing, I saw my whole 33 years as a Mary Kay consultant, director, national sales director. And early on, I was not too quick to pivot.
Most of us aren't. I think it's learned.
Yeah, and I would do like Bess Moore talks about, you know, in her book, Get Out of That Pit. I don't know if you have. And she says you can either jump into a pit, you can slip into a pit, you can fall into a pit. And some people get in their pit and they just set up housekeeping and they decorate it and hang pictures on the walls. And, you know, that's being not willing to pivot. Because it's not God's will for us to stay in that pit. But what you said at the very end with the three qualities of all NSDs, their ability to handle pain, because we all have stuff. You know, we all have things. And their ability to stick with the basics, because you know what? I remember hearing National Sales Director Judy McCoy say that at one point as a national, you know, she thought to herself, hey, I built this once. I can build it again.
Right.
You know, we can go back to booking parties. We can back to booking parties and personal team building. And what a blessing that we have that option, that we can do that at any stage of the game. You know, and if your unit, you said, if your unit is not working, you know, not that you've forsaken your personal business, but that you always have it there, that we're always, you know, that having that beauty consultant option and build it again. And lastly, focus. Following one course until successful. Being a finisher, it's no wonder that our theme song as nationals is it's not how you start, it's how you finish. You know, we've got to be finishers. And, you know, Matthew 25, that's one of my favorite parables too. Both of the faithful servants that took their talents and invested them, whatever, they both got a hundredfold return.
Absolutely.
You know, which is what we get in Mary Kay when we sell this product. We make 50% commission, but it's 100% markup. It's a hundredfold return.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hundredfold return. I wonder sometimes if that's why Mary Kay decided the 50% commission is the hundredfold return based on the parable of the talents. But, you know, and being willing, and I just felt in my spirit that there was some directors on this call today that were convicted. Well, I know there were. That were convicted to go and apologize to their unit.
Yeah.
Go, and I hope that they all, that you all know the five languages of apology. Which is a book by Gary Chapman. It's awesome. And if you're going to be a leader, you got to know how to apologize. You just can't get up and say, I'm sorry. You have to get up and do the five languages. You have to say, I'm sorry, which is true repentance. Secondly, you have to say, I was wrong to let this happen. I was wrong. That's going to kill a bunch of people right there because they don't want to be wrong. But it was wrong, you know. Thirdly, you have to say, it won't happen again. It won't happen again. Fourthly, you have to say, and I'm willing to do my part to make this right. I'm going to get out there and do a 10-show week or a gold medal or whatever you personally feel convicted to do. And lastly, asking their forgiveness. Can you forgive me? Will you forgive me? You got to do it right. If you're going to apologize, which I think would be an awesome Thanksgiving meeting for anybody and everybody. Well, I want to let the other national sales directors that are listening come on the line at this time. They'll have to hit star six, of course.
One thing while they're doing that, let me say, Cindy, one that my next step, I'm really big on your next step, after I kind of apologized, is I just started recognizing, starting my, I mean, this is such a small thing, but at my meeting, starting my recognition, sales recognition with $1,000 week. Of course, you know, the first time I did it, they kind of like, yeah, right. People were like kind of chuckled. But we're starting too low, you know, and it took us a few weeks, but, you know, we got there. And so that's the norm now. And, you know, people do it with $500 or $600 or $800 weeks. They'll strive for that if they're feeling like they can, you know. So FYI.
Well, and another thing that you said that I forgot, your clothes, how you open your party.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar. I say the first 3 points, what you say, I say what I'm going to incorporate. I'm going to incorporate a lot of what you said today. But your fourth point is I'm going to ask you what you want to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And just being out there and straightforward and, you know, closing the sale. And how it's cleansing. I put lots of stars around that remark, that closing is cleansing. And, I, you know, I would be willing to say that this call, every director in Mary Kay needs to hear this call today. And even I would, you know, I don't see anything wrong with every consultant hearing this call today, really.
Well, and the
all
other
that you said around closing.
Thank you. And the part of that, too, even at a guest event, is I say some of y'all are worried, you know, about the girl, person that brought you tonight is going to try to get you to sell Mary Kay, the guest. And I'm like, that's exactly what we're doing. Let me just tell you, that's exactly why you're here. So now that we've identified that, you know, we can move forward. You don't have to say yes, but you are here because we think you'd be good.
That's
you know, I just think honesty is so helpful in those ways.
That's right, and being transparent, just being completely transparent. So other NSDs? They want to speak up at this time?
Hey, Jan Thetford, it's Kim McClure.
Good morning, Kim.
What on earth are you doing on this call this morning, girl?
Well, I'm here with Lindsay. She's having a little breakfast. I didn't get to hear the whole thing. We took a walk and did some other things, so I had to put the phone down. But the pieces I heard were phenomenal. And, you know, your words just always are like a balm to my soul. They're just always so calming and encouraging and love-filled with such a passion. I know that Mary Kay is like, speak it, Jan. That's exactly what I would say. And so I just want to say thank you. And I wanted to say thank you for all your love and for your prayers and anybody else that's on this call that we've been praying for our family and for my daughter. She's on the road to recovery and doing really well. So thank you all. I love you. Aww. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Kim.
That's great news. Glad to hear that Lindsay's doing well. So glad to hear that praise report. Anybody else?
Hey, Cindy, it's Kim Walker.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. This is the wonderful, wealthy Kim Walker. Oh, my gosh, Jan, you are so awesome. You know what? I mean, you're so wise, and it is so fitting that you would be on today before Mary Kay's favorite holiday and, of course, her homegoing date and all those things, because you are absolutely our Mary Kay. You are so charismatic and so yourself. I just love you, Jan, because you really give us so much freedom to just have fun, not be so puffed up and so unapproachable, but yet you are so wise and so smart, and you have made such a phenomenal contribution to our Mary Kay Corporation and what we have with integrity and class and your wisdom and your fun. Oh, my gosh, your fun, your faith. I had to come up with more F's, but that wasn't what I wasn't really trying to. But my point is your faithfulness, Jan, and your willingness to make yourself available, you know, is so helpful to us as a sales force. And I know Mary Kay truly is smiling, and you're such a wonderful blessing to our Mary Kay world. But you are such a worker, too. And I just hope the directors will, you know, I know I'm going to listen to the call again, because you pour out so many wisdom points. And I love the way, through your action, you identified other ways to look at the situation. And I think that's what we have to do. We have to take a look at it, our situation, differently, because we all go through those challenges and frustrations and disappointments, but it's how we look at it. And so you make, the way you look at things, you make it fun and like, oh, I'm still intelligent, I'm still smart, I still can do this, no matter what, you know, hiccups and bumps. And so thank you, Jan, so much for your availability, your wisdom, and your endurance. And congratulations on that grandbaby. That's so awesome.
Thank you, Kim. I know,
so
we're
awesome.
Excited. We are. Thank you for those kind words. I feel so empowered just having you speak those words. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Love you.
Love
Thanks
you, Tweetie.
Anyone else, real quickly? Well, Jan, it is after 10 o'clock. So I know
everybody's
ready to put into shoe leather all these points that you gave us today. Thank you again.
You're welcome,
much.
Cindy.
The
Thank
perfect
you.
Perfect call. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving week and enjoy, you know, enjoy your time with your family and friends. And remember that, you know, it is just exactly what Jan told us, this ability to do the three things, initiate, close, and pivot. And I'm going to be seeing family over the holidays that I don't normally get to see. And, you know, it's a great opportunity to share not only your love for family, your love for God, but your love for your business. We can have it all, as Mary Kay taught us. We really can have. Y'all go forth and be blessed. Bye-bye.